We got a beautiful day in East Tennessee. Our buddy Jim Brogan joins us on Yarbrough to talk a few things from the financial side of the world. Mr. Brogan, good morning. How are you, friend?
Good morning, Bob. Doing great. Very blessed this Christmas season.
Yes, sir. I agree with you there. So let's dive in. Last week we had Knox County Mayor Glenn Jacobs on. We had Larson Jay from County Commission on, and we were talking about, you know, this population increase in East Tennessee and really how it's impacting and many other things, but certainly how it's impacting the housing market here. Over the past few years, it's been red hot to say the least. What got us there, and what do you see coming up in 2023?
You know, I think the number one thing that got us there is the artificially low interest rate environment. You know, the Federal Reserve kept interest rates so low for so long. And, you know, if interest rates for mortgages are lower, that enables us to buy a more expensive house. Now, then you increase demand, which is certainly a big part of that. More and more people moving to this area, then you've got an issue there. And supply has been very, very low as well. So we've kind of had this, I don't want to call it a bubble because I don't think it's necessarily going to burst, but you've had this just huge surge in local real estate values. Now, it's happened all over the country, but it's happened particularly here in East Tennessee. And I think a lot of that is it's such a great place to live, and we're attracting people from all over the country. But the number one driver is the interest rate environment and the Fed keeping rates too low for too long.
So interest rates have since gone up, and I think there's another expected announcement on Wednesday. The thinking is half a point in that forecast. Good move, bad move? Is it going to make a significant difference?
Well, it's definitely making a difference. So, and you mentioned that I didn't answer that, Bob. How can we expect things entering into 2023? The Fed's probably going to do a half point interest rate hike Wednesday. I think that's probably mostly already baked into the market, so meaning I don't know that there would be an immediate impact on interest rates for things like mortgages. But I think rates are going to stay up a little while. Now, many economists are thinking rates could be back into the mid-fives by the end of next year. I'm not so sure about that. I do think rates will eventually come back down some, especially into 2024. So the rate hikes are softening the real estate market. But one thing that's, you know, usually when you see rate hikes, you would expect real estate values to decrease. Because again, if your interest rate's higher, you cannot afford as big of a home or as expensive as a home. So it drives down prices. One of the things that's offsetting that to some degree is there's just a low supply of homes. That's not just true in East Tennessee. It's true all over the country, but especially here in East Tennessee. So I expect it to continue to soften some as the Fed continues to try to raise rates to fight inflation. You ask me, do I think it's necessary? I think the Fed's got to get their arms around inflation. My biggest concern economically, Bob, is that we would have inflation amidst a recession, which would be stagflation. And that is my biggest concern. So I think the Fed does need to make sure that, you know, that inflation is coming down.
Well, I know a lot of folks looking to retire might consider paying off their mortgage and just being done with it. What's the good things, the bad things that can come from that?
Yeah, and I get asked that question all the time, Bob. And I think it's because we're talking about this red hot real estate market. I think that's a good discussion to have about, especially, you know, planning for retirement. There's no question in my mind that having the mortgage paid for on the day that you retire is generally a very good thing. There's no question that it just makes retirement income and cash flow so much easier. I don't think you have to do that, but it is a big goal I think people should have. Now, one of the challenges people can have is how are they going to pay that off? Are they going to have to liquidate investments? And what are the tax ramifications of liquidating investments? You know, if people take a distribution from their IRA or their 401k, they're going to have to pay the income taxes on that money before they can pay the mortgage off. And so as a rule, I would not be a fan of that. And while people are in their peak earning years, I'm not necessarily a big fan of saying, you know, if you have a mortgage at 2.5% or 3%, I'm not saying go rush out and try to pay it off now. But there is no doubt that with my own clients and then with what you see in the marketplace, it just makes cash flow and income in retirement so much easier when retirees live on more of a fixed income, which is the reality.
What if somebody takes advantage of this hot market that we've seen here and decides to sell their house, take the profit? What are the tax implications of doing that?
This has become a bigger problem, Bob, of late because of the home escalation in the market. I have more and more clients that are dealing with this that want to maybe get out of a two-story home into a one-story home or downsize or go from a big lot to a smaller lot that's easier to maintain, whatever the reason. Because of the escalation in values, we do have to worry about tax implications. When we sell our primary residence, which the IRS defines as we've lived in there as our primary residence for 2 out of the last 5 years, when we sell our primary residence, the IRS does have a benefit where we don't have to pay a capital gains tax on for a single filer up to $250,000 of gain, and for a joint filer up to $500,000. So in the past, when we've worked with retirees and soon-to-be retirees, you know, we haven't dealt with this issue a lot. But now with these escalated home prices, it is becoming a bigger issue. You know, if somebody has a gain in their house for more than the $250,000 or the $500,000, even if they buy a new home, they do have to report that as a capital gain. And so it's important, number one, to have track of what all of your tax basis is in your home, which you do not have to pay tax on that part, but, you know, which is what you paid for it versus any home improvements you've made. Then anything between that and what you sell it for is a long-term capital gain if you've had the home for more than a year. Of course, you have to be there for more than 2 years to be claimed as a residence anyway. So that is something a lot of people overlook, and it is the requirement of the taxpayer to claim that properly on the tax return, even if it is within those gain thresholds. So it's something that sellers of homes need to very, very much be aware of and plan for in their financial plan.
What about anything over $250,000 for a single filer, $500,000 for multiple filers? There anything over that? What kind of tax rates are you looking at there? And is there any reinvestment of that particular money that can cut down on the tax rates?
It's very difficult to get away from that capital gain tax, Bob. The tax rate is going to depend on the other income. Most people are going to be taxed at about a 15% tax rate for long-term capital gains. Now, it goes to 18.8 with the Affordable Care Act, which is a capital gains an additional surtax. When joint filers get over $250,000 and single filers get over $200,000, most people are going to be in that 15 to 18.8% range. There's really not a good way to shelter that money. You know, if I'm a real estate investor and I have a second home or I have an investment property or an apartment building or a rental home, you know, I can do something called a 1031 exchange. Many of your listeners, Bob, that deal with real estate investment know about this, where you exchange the home for another home as an investment property. And people can do that. But for your primary residence, you cannot do a 1031 exchange. So in order to offset that tax, you would actually have to move out of the house, meet some specific criteria that you would want to talk to your tax professional about to turn that home into an investment property, and then you would need to meet the criteria before you sell it to be able to avoid the gain. But that's a lot of rigmarole.
Mm-hmm.
Most people are just looking to sell their home and then maybe downsize or go to a smaller lot. And unfortunately, it's just something most people are going to have to deal with unless they want to go through those complicated strategies. And I would say then just be very careful and be sure you're working with a tax professional.
Yeah, get some good advice for sure. All right, Jim Brogan has more Living with Jim Brogan Saturdays from 9 till 10. And from 3 until 4 here on News Talk 98.7, what's on the show coming up next weekend?
We're going to be having the Women's Fund in to talk about their initiatives of helping women in poverty, young girls especially in East Tennessee. They support the Knox County and surrounding area. And we'll also talk about the overall importance of charitable giving. I think it's a great time of year when we're in the Christmas season to talk about the importance of mission work and charitable giving.
Jim, Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for all you do for us at News Talk 98.7 and all the information. Greatly appreciated.
Merry Christmas, Bob. Thank you.
All right, we'll talk to you again soon. Jim Brogan right there. You can find him online at broganfinancial.com, B-R-O-G-A-N. That's broganfinancial.com.